Chapter 15. AIDS Victims and Sick Women. Quran as Prescription for Mercy. N.D. People get sick. Some consult doctors. Others seek alternative healers. Among Muslims who become sick, some are illiterate or semi-literate. Yet they are no less devout, nor less resourceful, because they are denied the written word. Many turn to the Quran for a cure. How do devout folk who are not literate use the Quran? They explore a profusion of formulae linked to a single Arabic word, Tawid. Tawid is derived from the first word in the last two chapters of the Quran, chapter 113 through 14. I take refuge. Tawid is the act of taking refuge with God from all the evils and illnesses in this world. Tawid is best thought of as a prescription for mercy, imploring the Lord of all systems of knowledge, to listen, to respond, and to heal. Many Muslims, illiterate and literate, call on him through Tawid, above all for protection from ambient spirits or jinns. The Quran makes frequent reference to jinns. Jinns are spirits that inhabit the world between heaven and earth, between God and man. Because they are deemed to be closer to heaven than earth, they are called jinn, deriving their name from the word in Arabic for heaven, Janna. Jinns can work good or ill, but they are always at work. One cannot live without the interference of the jinn. To understand and control them is to prosper. To ignore or try to avoid them is to invite defeat, loss of health, and even death. An entire Quranic chapter, chapter 72, is dedicated to jinn, lauding their belief in the Lord of Muhammad and humankind. There is also reference to jinn in the chapter of Scattering Winds. I have not created men and jinn except to worship me. Chapter 51, verse 56. Ordinary believers, whether illiterate, semi-literate, or highly literate, are not capable of approaching jinn, much less directing them. It is a power given to certain persons. They too are mentioned in the Quran. For instance, in chapter 43, verse 48 through 49, affirming Moses' power to heal. God never speaks to the believer except by inspiration or from behind a veil. Or else he sends a mediator, Wali, to whom he reveals what he wishes. According to the historian Ibn Khaldun, Walis are saints to whom God has granted knowledge and divine wisdom. They address different levels of intervention by spirits. They aid impotence, cure sickness, and promote well-being, almost always through the use of Tawid. Perhaps the most graphic use of Tawid by a saint comes from Indonesia. There, a Sufi master has devised a protective prayer formula that can be accessed via the Internet. Its intended audience is not just literate, but cyber-savvy. Its express purpose is to assist and relieve those who suffer from HIV/AIDS. It coordinates times of recitation with different locations around the globe. On the website www.allnatural.com/Sufi, the first announcement is Sufi Healing, HIV/AIDS Treatment with the Sufi Healing Method. The service is offered free through the Barzakh Foundation, and the site's webmaster is also a Sufi master. Muhammad Zuri is someone who has practiced the Sufi Healing Method for more than 20 years. He claims to have cured many people afflicted with cancer, mental illness, leukemia, impotency, and paralysis, and he does it within Islam by using the Quran. The very name of this group, the Barzakh Foundation, derives from a Quranic verse that confronts the fear of death. When death finally comes to one of them, he cries, "My Lord, send me back, that I may do right by what I neglected. There is no way, for that is just talk. And before them is a gap, Barzakh, until the day they will be resurrected." Chapter 24, verse 99 through 100. Barzakh is a word that Ibn Arabi used repeatedly. For the greatest master, it became a key term connoting the passage from this physical world to the world beyond death that is spiritual, and also the space that each individual occupies after death and before the day of resurrection. Through their keen insight, Sufi masters like Ibn Arabi and Muhammad Zuri are able to see the passage awaiting each person as they leave the material realm and before they experience the blinding light of eternity. This practice relies not only on ritual prayer, or salat, but also on voluntary meditation, or zikr. Zikr may be simply translated as divine remembrance, but it is much more than isolated or random remembrance. It is a rigorous daily practice common to all Sufi groups, but here it is also practiced as a method to cure mental or physical illness. It requires repeating verses from the Quran or God's beautiful names, including the pronoun hu or he, under the supervision of Muhammad Zuri, whether in person or by internet connection. As a Sufi master who mediates the divine will and understands the barzakh awaiting each patient/petitioner, Muhammad Zuri combines the uses of God's names and Quranic verses with prayer in a specific and complex method. He intercedes with the jinn through formulations that may be written on paper, bone, or leather. Those things are then put in a glass of water to be taken by the patient, or buried in the ground, or carried around. The formulations can also be spoken aloud or kept silent in the heart. Is this magic or religion, heresy or orthodoxy? Many have debated the question and they will continue to debate it. But for the person affected, it is a matter of practical religion. What works should be used, and what works depends on trust, not just in the saint, but also in the agency of the Quran. For what is a book of signs to the believer, if not also a book of secrets, its words portals that open to some larger, unseen, pervasive truth? And in the case of Muhammad Zuri and the Barzakh Foundation, Tawhid is a pervasive and powerful application of the Quran. While intended mainly for a Muslim audience, it also offers hope to all who come to this therapy with sincerity and trust, whatever their religious background. Muhammad Zuri's pledge is to cure the already infected patients using every way which is acceptable by human laws and morality or religion. For those who suffer AIDS yet exit this world on a path that parallels the straight path without intersecting it, that is, they are non-Muslim, this is perhaps the most radiant light from a book of signs. It is a prescription for mercy from the one full of compassion, ever compassionate, towards all humankind. Often it is devout women who use prescriptions for mercy as prescribed to them by walis or saints. A Muslim woman might be concerned about an illness, either one from which she suffers, or more likely one that has befallen a family member. She might approach a professional healer and ask him to write certain passages from the Quran on the inner surface of a bowl. She will then pour water into the bowl, stir it until the writing has vanished, and then drink the blessed water on behalf of the afflicted person. The healer may also recite these words as she consumes that water. And he, God, will heal the breasts of people who believe. Chapter 9, verse 14. Or it could be this verse. O humankind, good advice has come to you from your Lord, and a remedy for what is in your breasts. Chapter 10, verse 57. Or a similar verse. And we sent down from the Quran what is a healing and a mercy for those who believe. Chapter 17, verse 82. From Morocco to India to Indonesia, the professional healer might actually be a diviner or a saint. While he might use the Quran as a purifying substance, he might also use the words to mark a course of action. He might resort to the ultimate tamer of the unseen, the prophet Moses. Just as Moses was given the book, chapter 25, verse 35, and blessed with miracles, such as the burning bush and the white hand, as signs to confront Pharaoh, chapter 27, verse 7 through 12, so Moses' words in the Quran can be used to separate the wheat from the chaff, the good from the bad. A woman client will tell the diviner saint what she wants. Then the diviner will consult a blank book where each chapter is marked with one of two colored strings. One string has on it, "Whoever does even one iota of good will see it," chapter 99, verse 7a. The other string, "Whoever does even one iota of evil will see it," chapter 99, verse 7b. The diviner then thumbs through the book at random until his hand stops on one of the blank chapters. He looks at the color of the string, and then indicates to the client whether the action she contemplated will result in good or evil. He either commends or discourages her, and if she submits with faith, sincerity, and trust in the verdict from a book of signs, she will leave satisfied. Numerology can also play a crucial role in the tawhid or prescription for mercy that diviners, saints, make to dispel the evil one. Every letter in the Arabic alphabet carries a value. Those numbers, when added up, can give you a total that symbolically represents the holy phrase. No phrase is deemed to be more important than the opening chapter. These seven verses, declared a Sufi practitioner, provide the key to acquiring riches, success, and strength. They act as a medicine and a cure, dispelling sadness, depression, anguish, and fear. And the power of the opening chapter, for him and for others, is contained in its first words, "In the name of God, full of compassion, ever compassionate." This phrase is known as the Basmala, and since it represents 786, those numbers can convey its power if properly used. The numbers 786 may be written on a piece of paper or voiced as a silent prayer. It may be spoken aloud as though it were a prayer, or written on glass and the ink washed off, then drunk as medicine. It may be affixed to some part of the body, or, in the case of a corpse, it may be buried with the deceased in the ground. Often, 786 is written at the top of a paper or material conveying the Basmala, but then applied to specific words that are written out in Arabic script, in order to make the prescription for mercy effective. If a woman suffers from headache, she might wear around her neck a prescription for mercy that reads, "O God," in symmetrical rows of three. If her baby has measles, she might have an expanded diagram of 16 invocations that encompass the first 9 numbers in Arabic. If it is eye pain that causes distress, then the form of "O God" may be written as though it were the upper and lower eyelid, and on each corner within a rectangular box one of the mighty intervening angels is invoked. O Gabriel, O Michael, O Azrael, O Israfil. For beautiful women or women at risk because of their evident charm, the evil to ward off comes from the jealous eye of others. It is known as the evil eye, and the defense against it is a Quranic prescription for mercy that numbers the Basmala at top, and then, in even patterns of four, invokes God by his pronominal referent, O He, 16 times. For women who cannot conceive, there is a still more elaborate formula of the pronominal invocation. After invocation of 786, O He has to be written 35 times, in 5 rows of 7 pronouns each. Once written, preferably in vegetable ink, it is then washed off and drunk by the woman hoping to conceive. Still other formulae cover a variety of distresses, from nosebleeds to labor pains, from toothache to abscesses. Huge and varied is the inventory of Quranic invocations in use today throughout the Muslim world. Men may be the religious functionaries dispensing them, but Many, if not most, of their clients are Muslim women. Whether literate or illiterate, privileged or poor, they place their trust in the noble Quran as the medical mediation for whatever afflicts them or those closest to them. A prescription for mercy from the fount of mercy, the giver of life, is deemed to be the best cure, both for this world and for the next.